Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about the annual Dr. Martin Luther King prayer breakfast that the Fredericksburg NAACP puts on each year this morning. And we do that every year, and they're back. Xavier Richardson and Ann Little here this morning. Good to have both of you here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
This has gotten to be a really big event, and so big, Ann, that if you're interested in it, you waited too long. There are no more tickets.
We are sold out. 504 people. We actually put in one last table last night, and that's all that room will hold. And I guess if somebody wants to sit on somebody's shoulders, we could do that. But other than that, we are full.
That boy, Xavier, that's gotta be a great feeling to see that there's that kind of interest to get up that early and come out to a breakfast. This is for Dr. King.
Most definitely. And that those 504 people also include what, about 380 plus persons who are sponsors, not sponsors, but tickets that were sold to sponsors.
Yeah.
And we're proud that we have raised a little over $85,000 in sponsorships. That's what's really phenomenal.
Wow. So a lot of people want to be associated with this and bring people and to come. And I remember a few years ago, Anne, when you really got involved in this, and
we were at Walker Grant Middle School, and I looked and everybody started putting the tables away, and I said, "What are we doing here?" And they said, "Well, we have to put the tables away because that's the way it works." And I said, "You know what? We need to go bigger."
That's what you told me.
And we went the next year to the hospitality house, and we didn't look back. There's so many people that want to support the mission of the NAACP. It's not just this narrow mission. Let me read it to you. To ensure the political, educational, social, and economic equality of rights of all persons, and to eliminate race-based discrimination. So it's a wide mission statement that encompasses everybody in this community in the United States. And we have just a wonderful community here in Fredericksburg that has made a huge difference from the beginning. When we go back to Reverend Davies is our mayor back in the 70s and has continued forward with making steps to make sure that everybody is included and everybody has an equal opportunity in this world.
No, I remember when you were at Walker Grant, and I remember the conversations when you got involved, Ann, and you saying to me, "There's no reason why this shouldn't be sold out, and we need to be in a bigger place."
Well, the problem is I met up with Xavier, who's got bigger goals than me, and so then it was like, well, now we need to get to 500 people, and we all scoffed a couple of years ago, and here we are, 3 years later, we have 500 people attending this event.
In the words of Dr. King, I had a dream, and the dream has been fulfilled. And actually, even before that particular event that Ann attended, it was actually in the fellowship hall of a local church, and it probably netted about $800. It started by former NAACP president Nat Young, the late Nathaniel Young, and his wife, who will actually be on the program. They founded this probably close to 25, 30 years ago. So
when you two got together with this, there really was Ann's enthusiasm and ability to kind of get people together, and you to get sponsors and to get people together and
having a lot of fun in the midst of it.
We laugh most of the time.
We do laugh, and we know each other well enough.
Right.
We won't say this on the air, but no, she was describing something that she had done the other day, and I was not, and because we can play off each other.
Yeah, no, this is
that's what makes it really special.
Just to see this as a big event and not just something that we're going to have something in a fellowship hall. It's grown to be just one of the bigger events in the community.
Indeed, and certainly the largest celebration of the MLK. holiday in the community. So,
and we'll give some details as we go along this morning, Xavier, too. But there's you're part of just two really major programs in the whole region. This program on Monday, but then on Sunday at JM there'll be a program too. So this community pulls together.
Most definitely. Both of those are community-wide celebrations, although they may be sponsored by a particular local branch or organization. It really is a community celebration, both of them. The other one that you're referring to will be on the day before, the 19th of January at Greensboro High School at 3 o'clock p.m. And it's a community-wide celebration, and we usually have 400 to 500 people there, and we have a variety of persons participating in it, and people look forward to that one as well. So so there's that Saturday, then the Sunday, and then I need the holiday myself after that.
I think so. Yeah. But really, Ann, you take a look at these programs, and Dr. King and his message, and people like Reverend Davies and Johnny Johnson and others. This community has really followed Dr. King's dream.
Indeed, they were our living legends, and unfortunately, both have passed on, as well as others. And but this is a way that we can continue to pay tribute not only to Dr. King, but also the local persons who are like Dr. King, who carried his legacy here. And so that's another reason why, when it seems like it's a lot of work, and sometimes there've been groups that have been involved with me, and then they said, "Well, we can't do it anymore." I said, "Well, you know, as hard as it may seem, it's small in comparison to the sacrifices that Dr. King made for the betterment of the entire society." So we keep plugging along and keep trying to bring new people into the fold, and we're very proud of where we are.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about where you are and how people can get involved and some of the things that the local NAACP is doing around here in the region. Xavier Richardson and Little here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
The Fredericksburg NAACP is holding the MLK Prayer Breakfast Monday the 20th at the Fredericksburg Convention Center, 9 to 11. It is sold out, and we're talking about really the local work of the NAACP around here this morning with Ann Little and Xavier Richardson. The local branch has had over the years, Xavier, a huge impact on the community, and then a lot of people, you included.
Sure. I mean, I consider myself to be a beneficiary of the NAACP, and now I seek to be a benefactor in terms of not only providing the financial support, but also seeking ways to engage more people. The NAACP is a quiet giant, in my respect, in terms of its relevance now. For so long, people thought that the NAACP was there to stage protests or to bring identify issues of a major significance.
Yeah.
But there's much more to the NAACP. What I've found is that actually the work that I do at the hospital in terms of community development and social determinants of health is really well aligned with the work of the NAACP, because many of the things that the NAACP is seeking to do now is to address inequities. Inequities in many of the things in our community, whether it's housing, healthcare, mental health, environmental justice, and many other things. And so their committee structure helps to address some of the things that we've identified through our community health needs assessment and the resulting community health improvement plan. So I took it upon myself to try to make it align even more, because when we connected our needs assessment 3 years ago, we looked at inequities in communities, specific communities, and we have the data to show that there are certain inequities that exist in the city of Fredericksburg. So I said, this is a great opportunity for the NAACP to get involved in some of these things. And we already had the infrastructure in the form of the committee, so we set some goals. Some of those goals were tied to some of those things. For instance, issues relative to housing and home ownership. We know that home ownership among African Americans in the city of Fredericksburg are lower than they are for whites. And so the housing committee has looked at some possible things that we could be addressing. We participated with something in conjunction with the Mayfield Civic Association to work with the Habitat for Humanity, because there's some homes being built in Mayfield, making sure that people know what it takes and why they should be engaging in home ownership, particularly as it relates to being an economic tool by which wealth can be transferred within the community. We also have looked at health issues.
We had Dr. O speak last. It was really, really kind of weird how this happened. But Dr. O spoke at our event last year. At the same table was Senator Kane, who was there to speak. And he changed his talk and talked about maternity health and child welfare and infant care right there, and then immediately said, this is one of my issues, and really started to talk to Dr. O and really grabbed this and has taken this to a federal level now. And it just was boy, this is the spark that just ignited that whole thing. Now, it was there, but putting that synergy together really made that difference.
And on a more local level, there were other people there, including Terry McNally from the Community Foundation, sent me a text and said, hey, this may be something that we might be interested in. And then Jemana was there hearing what Dr. O was saying. He gave the example of Black maternal health being an issue in the community. And one of the proven ways to address those issues relative to Black maternal health is the use of doulas. And so Jemana heard about it, and Jemana said, hey, we would love to provide the training for doulas in our community so they don't have to go elsewhere. So now there's a doula program at Jemana where they've already graduated their first cohort, and they're about to do another cohort, which also intersects with my job because we're trying to address these issues that we identify them in the CHAR and the CHIP, the health improvement plan. So I was able to give them some funding, and there are others who are giving them funding too. So this is how the NAACP continues to be relevant. Most people don't think that is relevant. It really is. And when I sat down and looked at some of the things that we were addressing, I realized that the NAACP at the national level has already identified some of these things, and we're working with this at the state level too hopefully partner with some of the other organizations. For instance, in the area of health, there's and food insecurity, which is another social determinant of health, there is a benefit through Medicaid that doesn't affect the health component of it, that Medicaid recipients can receive a food benefit. It's sort of like a prescription for getting healthy foods. Well, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, we have not done that, but there are others who are working on it, and so we're partnered with them, and the food bank here is interested in it. So it's really being a connector of resources, and the work is phenomenal. And then we've done a tremendous amount of work in environmental justice, thanks to Sabrina Johnson, who was formerly the special assistant to the president at UMW, and she's been addressing issues relative to the trains that are in park, CSX trains.
By Mayfield.
Right, by Mayfield. And then there were also petroleum lines.
Those pipelines.
Pipelines.
There's all these pipelines in Mayfield that were laid there because that was a minority community. And it was like, okay, let's put them there because we can. And that was back and whenever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like, and I was looking at those when I was trying to plant trees, Ted, because they said, no, you can't plant near those because it's too dangerous. And I'm going, what? They're going down the middle of these people's streets and in their backyards.
There's houses there, yeah.
There's houses. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, it's too dangerous to plant trees, but you can leave them there for these people, and you haven't even talked about this.
Right.
And so...
We did a great job of identifying. Actually, what happens, I grew up in Mayfield, and I saw those things all my life, and never paid attention to it, the president, Charlene Jackson Fields, was walking through Mayfield with one of the other members, just exercising, and said, wait a minute, what is this? And it sort of highlighted, hey, this could be dangerous. And the more we looked into it, ironically, there's only one street that there's one main street that it runs down. That is literally the street that I grew up on. So it was really across the street. I didn't realize it until we
started doing this work.
Right, exactly. And there are no signs on the street. There's one way up at the end of the street. But I had no earthly idea until they started digging recently to do some things about it. And so some community members were getting confused because there was some gas lines, natural gas lines, and of course those go into the home, so they thought it was a good thing, but they weren't realizing that this other thing was going through it. And we, in the end, worked with the Mayfield Civic Association, with City Council and all, and have been working with the company that had that really owns those, and holding them to the gun, no pun intended, to make sure that they are informing people. Nothing has happened. But if something were to happen, it could be significant just from someone drilling down. And so we're trying to educate the community on that. And as a result of the work that we did, I would say that the Mayfield Civic Association became more actively engaged in general, because we helped to host an event there through our environmental justice area. And we had about 65 people there. And as a result, the Mayfield Civic Association has become more actively engaged too, because we have adopted Mayfield as our targeted area to support, because some of those things that we're talking about and some of those inequities that we're talking about, we can begin in Mayfield as a targeted area to address some of those things. Because again, we talked about home ownership, but the other thing is that some seniors actually either lose their home or their homes are unfit to live in because they can't repair them. So we worked with the 516 Project, and we repaired several homes in Mayfield to do it. So we're doing a lot of fascinating work. There's opportunities for people to come in and bring their expertise, and we have some great people on the health committee. One works for Blue Cross Blue Shield, one works for the hospital in DC. She's a vice president and a content expert on Black maternal health, and she's gonna be the second speaker at the event on not this Monday, but the breakfast, I should say. And then I have young people that I've mentored. We talk about the kids I mentor all the time. I find what I call gems, gems in Mayfield, G-I-M, because I'm finding so many young people that I have mentored that I'm running to, and they can contribute to it. For instance, in environmental justice, I have one kid who I've been helping to become a certified teacher, but he also said, oh, you know, I listen to all the city planning meetings all the time. I said, oh, really? I said, well, he said, oh, you don't realize, but I'm getting my master's in urban development at Virginia Tech. So we have him involved. I have a young lady who's now our first resident, pharmacy resident. She's part of the health committee. I have another young lady who's in charge of our virtual nursing program for the hospital. Has her doctorate. She's a part of the committee. So we're finding a lot of young people that we can bring into the fold as well. As I age in place, I want to make sure that I have them there too.
You got people, whoever to grab the torch and keep going.
Exactly. But the key, and I heard this at one of our breakfasts, the young lady from the university, what was her name? Had a nickname.
The
former president a few years ago. Went on to work to be on the national. But she said, yes, it's time to pass the torch, and we encourage you to pass the torch. But when you pass the torch, be sure to let it go. Because that's often a problem that we think that they're still kids, and therefore we'll let them participate. But we say we're handing the torch to them, but we don't let it go and let them do things. So the NAACP has taught me a lot, and there's a lot of great things that we can do in this community. And we're just the Fredericksburg branch. There's one in Spotsylvania, Stafford, Caroline, King George.
But we're bigger and more active.
Right.
Yay. Yay. Yes.
Because we're competitive.
And some of us live in Spotsylvania.
We have to be the biggest.
Some of us sleep in Spotsylvania. I tell people I live in Fredericksburg because I work, pay, pray, and play in Fredericksburg, but I sleep in Spotsylvania. So that's where my heart is.
Well, and I'm glad you explained all that, Xavier, just because you're right that sometimes the NAACP, there's just this narrow view of what it does.
Right.
And as you described it, I think a lot of us, Seth, would sit there and think, I didn't know you did all that.
Right. And when we do it, sometimes people will say, well, why are you guys getting involved? Well, this is aligned with our state and national mandates. And so we feel fortunate that we have this gem in the form of a NAACP here, who's doing great things.
Well, and you mentioned the program last year where Senator Kane and where Dr. O talked about doulas. I'd never heard that term. I remember thinking, what in the world? In fact, I was standing by Ann over during the speak, and I on my phone Googled doula. I didn't know what it was,
right.
And it turned out I ended up doing a program with Germana on it and
with the
Rappahannock Area Health District.
Right, exactly.
On it. It was a brand new concept.
Oh yes, it's been around for a while, and now in Fredericksburg we're seeing more and more of it, and it certainly does address some of the support that women have need, and they're not employees of hospitals; they're objective persons who are there to support the patient. In fact, my youngest daughter is engaged to services of a doula for her pregnancy.
Okay.
So that person is helping her along with the pregnancy, and she will be there at the hospital, and she will be coming into the home for a month, 4 or 5 hours a day. So it really has improved outcomes for
Oh, absolutely.
American
I
women.
Mean, we don't have the community that we used to have. Like back in the farm days, you know, everybody had
right.
their children at home, and
yeah.
but all the women around knew how to help, and now we don't have that. We're all slotted into little houses and isolated so many of the time, and it's to our detriment.
Great.
So if people want to get involved with the Fredericksburg NAACP.
Ah, there we go. They need to join.
We're sold out on the breakfast, but we have not sold out on memberships.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I joined, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. I can't remember when, and just started attending the meetings and learning about the mission and learning about the activities. And then I gravitated towards the event because that's who I am. I love parties. So I said, that's what I'm going to do. But somebody comes in and they said, well, my thing is helping with kids. And we've got a big contingency, both at the university. We have a university chapter. So many people are involved with them. And that's the thing. You get the kids involved. And they're young people. They're not kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're young people. But there's also a group at the high school that is working and doing a lot of give back to the community. And it filters down. And if you don't engage the young people, then they're going to move on and still play games on their phones and things like that. Because nobody said, hey, this is important. But when you show young people, you can make a difference very early on. And you can be an influence in the community. Xavier's the perfect example. He mentors all these young people.
Mm-hmm.
They come up, they learn to have their own agency, and they move on and start doing that. But more importantly, you've got to reach back and grab somebody's hand and pull them through as well.
Good stuff. And we'll briefly talk about your story too, Xavier, because you have a story of where people did the same thing you're doing. And
most definitely.
Look at you. Need to take a quick break. We're talking about the Fredericksburg NAACP this morning and the Martin Luther King breakfast that is coming up on the 20th. And it is sold out. So in the future, if this sounds like something you want to be involved in, this is a good wake-up call.
Come and join us, and you can get your tickets early.
Yes,
that's what you
year.
Need to do. Xavier Richardson, Ann Little here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Xavier Richardson and Ann Little in this morning as we talk about the Fredericksburg NAACP and their work in the region, especially with the Martin Luther King holiday coming up on the 20th. Xavier, you were talking about just about the NAACP and all the different things. One thing you didn't talk about was on the education front, and that's close to home for you because you've been involved with that for years and years.
Yes. In fact, when I came back here, I was quite surprised to find that the number of African-American males going off to college in 1989 was two, and in 1975 when I graduated, there were 13. So,
really?
Yes.
Wow.
And so,
interesting.
Yes. And so Marguerite B. Young, who we all know and love, pulled together a group of us and said, okay, we want you to learn how to teach SAT test-taking skills to minority students. And there were a bunch of former alums of JM, students of color. And once we completed the training, she said, okay, y'all have to decide what you're going to do with it. I'm too old. Well, this was 60 years old. And we know Marguerite Young is still pointing her finger at the age of 96 that she's still involved. But that's when I created the Partnership for Academic Excellence 35 years ago to address those inequities. And as a result, have impacted about 8,000 young people. So when I talk about my young people and my kids, that's what I'm talking about. But the NAACP has sought to support education in Fredericksburg City Public Schools through an award named in honor of Marguerite B. Young, and is an Excellence in Education Award that is given, three different awards given to either a staff person, a paraprofessional, and a teacher. And those awards collectively are $5,000 in awards that we give every year, and that's supported by the branch and in connection with the education committee. And the education committee feels that that's a way to recruit and to retain teachers,
yeah.
And they're teachers of diverse backgrounds, et cetera. But we also are looking at the issue of literacy, which is something statewide is an issue, because we're finding that young people, because they can't read, they're not literate, and that affects all aspects of their educational development. And so we're trying to figure out what our role should be in terms of supporting the local schools of that. And I serve on the board of the University of Virginia School of Education and Human Development, and they're the ones who have developed this. So we're hopefully bringing some of those resources into Fredericksburg. The other thing that we're doing, we're assisting, is in the licensing of teachers in our community. Just recently, and I think last year, over 20 teachers who began their careers were individuals who were not yet licensed. And there's a process by which you have to go through, and there's something called a career switcher program, which helps to abbreviate the process of licensing. But I felt that the persons who they were targeting, many of them were first generation persons, a lot of them were persons of color, and a lot of these people have a desire to teach, but they already have amassed a lot of student debt, so they can't afford to go back and pay for a master's program or whatever, or to even go through a career switcher program. So I worked with the school system, and they're providing teacher staff loans that don't have to be paid back to persons who are participating, and the remainder of the money is going to be raised through the community. And the Fredericksburg branch in NAACP was the first one to support that effort. I need to raise about $42,000 for the cohort that's in there now. And probably have raised about 30,000 of it now. But the first partner was and is the Fredericksburg branch in NAACP in supporting that effort.
Well, you're a great example, Xavier, of giving back to the community and seeing and working with students and seeing those students and helping them along. Just what was done with you, with Mrs. Young and others who saw something in you and invested.
Right, and others like Johnny P. Johnson, Reverend Davies, Carol Hamm, and many others, and Clarence Todd and Gayo D'Aguilola, all these people poured into me, and I feel an obligation. I believe in to whom much is given, much is required. And I say that so much that some of my students, when they're writing papers in college and all, they will credit me as the author of it. I said, no, you better Google, but we're giving me credit for that. But it's good that people recognize that and will often repeat it. But it's not only individuals have to do it, but organizations have to do that. Businesses have to do that. Families have to do it. So it's not just the individual who needs to give back. It needs to be many of the community partners that we engage with, many of the organizations, many of the businesses that, quite honestly, are some of our sponsors. I mean, they feel an obligation too, in their own way, to give back. So, and the NAACP is a great organization to do that. When I meet new people at church, I tell them, you know, you need to become a member, and not only a member, but a member of a committee. So I try to get other people to do that too. We do have a very active committee, membership
and
committee.
And much more, because we've grown through this event. So this event brought people to the event, and all of a sudden they recognize that there is a larger community that's doing this. And so we're many of the sponsors that have come there, you know, Xavier's got great relationships with lots of people. I know lots of people. Rich LaRochelle is on our committee. You walk by Rich, he'll ask you to join something or give to something, because he's just one of those people. And so
it's hard to say no to him.
It is. Well, why would you say no? Because it's all great.
Right.
And so what we're doing is bringing this opportunity to the community. It's not like, hey, give us money. It's, hey, we're giving you an opportunity to be part of this bigger organization, mm-hmm. to be part of this bigger thing that we're doing that's going to bring us all together. So a company that comes and becomes a sponsor because they think, well, this is a good idea that I should do this. They get there and they go, whoa, I need to actually get involved. And so that's happening. And so the synergy of growing that whole thing, all of a sudden our community, Fredericksburg, is growing with understanding racial justice is a right and it's important for our community. And we, the NAACP, are the leaders in this whole effort. And they want to be a part of us, because it's good for the community, it's good for their business, it's good for all of us.
In fact, we were so successful with our membership initiatives headed by Tamu Holmes that we were recognized at the national NAACP for being one of the groups that has increased significantly in our group size. So
we're going to be number one in the United States, according
to exactly.
Any question? Only because, again, I remember the days when this breakfast was just a small, intimate affair, and I really remember you, Ann, saying, "We can do better than this."
Absolutely.
And that's why you two together on this has been so dynamite for the NAACP to be able to make this event so just such a powerful event.
Yeah, and I don't mean to bring race into this too much, but when that first event that I went to, I was one of maybe four or five white people at that event. And I'm going, what the heck's wrong with the community? Yeah. Why aren't we all here?
Right.
Why aren't we all joining this effort? This isn't a black organization. This is a community organization. And now you come to our breakfast, and it is a lot of people from the community, from all walks of life, from all races. And we are joining together to make sure that stays the same. We connect, and that connects our community. It makes us stronger. It makes us a better community. It transfers down to our schools. It does all of those things. And it sends a message to everybody that we are going to make sure that we lift all boats when we do this.
So as far as getting people and sponsors involved, you want to talk about some of the sponsors?
Yeah, well, our title sponsor, go ahead, Xavier.
Our title sponsor for the second year is Larry Silver and his son. He's been a very loyal supporter, and through his very generous efforts, we've been able to do a lot more in the community, because we've been able to increase the funds that we made available. He's a title sponsor at $20,000. And he also has some of the residents of some of his communities come out, and they thoroughly enjoyed it last year. I think we had three tables of them. We hope to have three tables of them again from Jubilation.
Jubilation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's other, I mean, there's lots of businesses that are, have joined us. Atlantic Builders is one of our top sponsors. Fredericksburg Co-op comes. And now the Rappahannock Education Farm is a sponsor. Lots and lots of other organizations want to be a part of us because they recognize that they can move through us and make an impact in the community. Churches, we have, of course, Old Site, New Site Baptist Churches, Fredericksburg Baptist Church, St. George's is a sponsor. All of that, those communities, of course, support so
and
many
Beth
things.
Shalom as well.
I'm sorry. Oh, Beth Shalom. Thank you.
Right.
There, I dropped that one. And then, of course, schools, Germana, University of Mary Washington. Mm-hmm. They're, again, part of that synergy that brings all this. So we're reaching all of these areas in the community, bringing them into this one organization that is actually then sending people back out again. So there's this yin and yang going on within the community.
And there's all different types of levels, and even smaller organizations like Mayfield Civic Association and smaller organizations like that are able to give. And how many? We had 75 silver sponsors?
77. We just got one last night.
Right. Wow. Right. And some of them are, many of them are local people, but some of them are people that grew up in this community who remain connected by making $250, $500, $1,000.
Someday someone will want,
right, exactly.
Someone will want to do that, Xavier.
Right, exactly. I'll pass out in that day. Yes.
Don't give him any more goals.
We all rise with
he,
that
yeah,
goal.
I know. Because he thinks it up and then it's like, okay, we got to do this. And I go, okay, then we'll do this.
I know, but like I said last year, I know, and money does not grow on trees.
No, it doesn't.
It's a great, what a great analogy with Ann Little here.
Yes, indeed.
No, this is, and what you said is so true, that these issues and all the issues that Xavier laid out, they're not black and white issues. These are issues that we all need to be.
Well, like voter registration. If you don't vote, you don't make your voice heard. Mm-hmm. And people feel like, then they withdraw from the community and they're not there to see what's going on and what the difference is. So, you know, housing and Mental Health America, we do a support with them. To do education in the schools, to make sure that the kids are supported. And so we're reaching out to all different organizations and tying them together. And that's really the hardest thing to do, because so many times you're in this organization and you're just stovepiped and you feel like you can't get anything done. And then all of a sudden you look around and all of these other people are doing things that are good works. And the NAACP is a conduit for a lot of this.
Indeed. And even with the voter registration, we've partnered with several other organizations with the registration of individuals at a number of different places, and also at the high school, partnering with some of the other groups that do voter registration. So we've gotten into the high schools and registered students there to vote.
Well, this obviously there's getting involved, becoming a member. There are so many areas that you can pick an area or two that you're interested in and be able to make a difference.
Indeed, and it's been easy in the past year or so because most of the meetings have been virtual, and hopefully soon they won't be as virtual. But a lot of work gets done through that virtual format right now. So we're really grateful for the way the community is embracing the organization and the way many new people coming into the community who have strong backgrounds in things that we weren't even aware of. So every time I meet somebody, tell me your story, give me your background. Okay, and I can figure out somewhere where you can be involved.
Then he'll sign you up, you know?
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, I can see that.
Suck you in,
yes,
honey.
Indeed. Yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
But sometimes it does take somebody that's going to say, you know, how can I get you involved?
Right, exactly. And there's a lot of it's been service that we've been doing, but now we also have a mandate for advocacy. And sometimes they say, well, at first my response was, how can we do advocacy in this area? It's impossible to do this, but there are different levels of advocacy. Yeah. Some of it's just teaching people things. Some of it's like, okay, wow, this whole Medicaid benefit for food, if we advocate for it, but also get at the state level, get everyone to advocate for it, yeah. It can be a lot of support. So a lot of these things aren't what people will think are confrontational. It's really taking advantage of things to make our community a better place. That's the goal, ultimately, is to address inequities, to reduce them, to make a better place for all, because we all benefit from that.
Look at what happened with the train cars.
Right.
You know, it was like, and I worked on that project 10 years ago,
right. Mm-hmm.
When it was like still a big problem, and they kind of put a Band-Aid on it.
Right.
But this time, everybody got serious,
right.
And we got our representatives in Congress to work on it, and we made it. We moved,
right.
We moved that needle. And that was something that a lot of people said, you can't buck the railroads. Right. And man, that was impressive.
Indeed.
So impressive.
And that's the key, to move the needle in a positive direction,
yep.
Whether that be up or down, whichever is positive, to reduce those inequities and things that impede our communities.
Quick break. We're going to wrap this up. We're talking about the Fredericksburg NAACP and the MLK Prayer Breakfast. And we're doing that with Ann Little and Xavier Richardson this morning. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about Fredericksburg NAACP and the prayer breakfast, Monday the 20th at the Fredericksburg Convention Center. It is sold out. So, as Xavier said, if you want to get an early ticket next year, join the NAACP and find out all that information. Before we get out of here, Xavier, one of the things we should mention is we talked about it a second ago. The event that happens Sunday, the day before, the 19th, at JM 3 to 5, another community MLK event that really is this one. In all the community, there's singing, there's dancing, there's reading of things, there's speeches.
Exactly. And this one is not sold out because we're not selling tickets. It's free.
Yeah.
Free admission to this particular event. It's the community-wide celebration annuals. I think this 18th annual community-wide celebration of the Dr. King holiday. And we have a variety of not only art forms, but also ages. We have young children. We'll have children probably 4 and 5 who are dancing, part of the Ambiance dance troop. We have a 10-year-old who has a phenomenal voice, T.C. Claiborne from Caroline. We have a larger choir, a gospel choir, in the direct phenomenal direction of Eric Armstead, who's now bringing in some students from Carolina he's working with, and we're going to do a number, a creative number with someone from the dance troupe, along with a student from Carolina High School. We have, in honor of Nikki Giovanni, we're going to have one of my high school classmates come back and perform a number that she performed in Harambe back in 1973-74.
Huh. Wow.
Yes. So, and then we have John Lassane, who is a nationally recognized tenor who lives in our community. He will be singing as well. And then we're going to try to engage some of the UMW students and working on getting a rap artist as well. And also some of our community leaders reflecting on the holiday as well as some students. So
yeah.
It's going to be a really great program. It's sponsored by the Epsilon Rho Boule, of which I'm a member, in conjunction with the Partnership for Academic Excellence. And we're also going to have the 40-plus Double Dutch troop. They will be back again.
They were fabulous.
Yes, so they will be performing, these
nice.
Women from 40 to 80 years old.
Get out.
And it's part of a national organization. They travel all over the place, and they perform. Their first public performance in the Fredericksburg group was last year with us. And afterwards, they recruited a good 15 to 20 members from that event. And they'll be out in the foyer performing afterwards as well. So it's going to be a lot of
yeah.
fun, a lot of folks and in celebration of the life and legacy of Dr. King.
So
please come out. James Rowe High School, 3 o'clock on Sunday, the 19th of January. Free, including refreshments.
The NAACP prayer breakfast, that is sold out. The speaker will be Abigail Spanberger, who's
yes.
running for governor. She'll have, there's this, it's a great event. So get involved in the future in with the NAACP and get a ticket if you don't have a ticket.
Yes,
this
and
time.
You can go on the website, FredericksburgNAACP.org. FredericksburgNAACP.org, and you'll see where you can join online there. And if you want to make a donation to the event, you can still do a donation, but unfortunately, we won't have a seat there. But we'll have a virtual seat for you.
Right.
We're going to Facebook Live stream it.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to have that too.
So, boy, and you've got to be thrilled that with you and other you and Xavier together have
he's scary.
Oh, she is.
So he'll call me like at midnight and it's like, really?
I can see both of you doing that. I'm just
and
never
sometimes
stopping.
It's an accident, but yeah, it's great. We have great meetings at our house too.
And my wonderful husband Carl, because he does
great.
All the behind the scenes stuff. He does all of the
presentations.
Yes, he does. Yeah, we got a shout out to Carl. We love you.
Definitely.
And please don't ever quit, Carl.
No,
please
Carl.
Don't. I'll protest in front of your house.
I will join you.
Thank you.
Xavier Richardson and Little, thank you both. This is always a great discussion about the NAACP and learned a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.